ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Before I begin, I want to thank everybody here for coming, for attending, and I beg for your prayers that I may say something useful and beneficial for all our benefit. I depend upon the mercy of all Vaishnavas so that we can all cooperatively, mutually affect and benefit one another. And I beg for this particular blessing now for everyone here and everyone who may be listening on the internet. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, 14th verse.
Tasmadekena manasa Bhagavan saptvatam pati Shrutavya kiti tavyascha Yeya pujascha nityada Tasmadekena manasa Bhagavan sattvatam pati Shrutavya kiti tavyascha Deyeya pujascha nityada Tasmadekena manasa Bhagavan sattvatam pati Shrutavya kiti tavyascha Yeya pujascha nityada.
Please chant. Ladies. Bhagavan Bhagavatam Pati. Jascha Nityadam. Bhagavan Sattvatam Pati More ladies, come on. Manasa Tatvatam pati Shotavya kitita vasya Anyone else on the other side? No? And the other on the men's side? Okay. Synonyms. Tasmat. Therefore. Ekena. By one. Manasa. Attention of the mind. Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead. Sattvatam. Of the devotees. Pati. Protector. Shrotavya. Is to be heard. Kirtitavya. To be glorified. Cha. And. Jaya. To be remembered. Puja. To be worshipped. Cha. And. Nityada. Constantly. Translation. The Sutta Goswami is still speaking, and he's speaking to an assembly of many thousands of great Brahmins and Vaishnavas who come there for the purpose of enlightening people in this Kali Yuga. And they knew that in Kali Yuga people will be doing many unfortunate, wrong, sinful acts, and so they want to nullify this through their sacrifice, their prayers, their worship. This is real charity. Translation. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Please repeat. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. If realization of the Absolute Truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. In any one of the above-mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. Especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda, and by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of the unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmadhyasya shloka of the Bhagavatam. So we all know what the Janmadhyasya shloka. Anybody want to give the English definition of the Janmadyasya. Okay, it's creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. That's the meaning of those two words. And who is being referred to as the Supreme Lord, who is responsible for the creation, sustenance, destruction of the manifested universe. The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, namely the Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. O magyana timirandasya gananjana shilakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. There are many important principles which are being mentioned here. I might, for want of another title this Real Heroes and False Heroes. And what is the difference? So, just starting from the translation, therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. First line, with one-pointed attention. So what does Sutta Goswami mean by one-pointed attention? Can we take the cell phone out, thank you? Wherever it is. Thank you. If it was doing a nice Hare Krishna tune, we could all start a kirtan. Doesn't. Okay. So, again, coming back to the nice, wonderful translation, one-pointed attention means, for example, you have a searchlight and you turn it on a spot and you keep it there. It doesn't do this waver. It doesn't move up and down. It doesn't move in a circle. It's one-pointed. Whoosh, just like that. And so our attention, as it says here, must be one-pointed and should constantly, what should it be one-pointed on? And it's explained very clearly here. It should be one-pointed on constantly hearing about, glorifying, and remembering, and worshiping the personality of Godhead. So it means, in effect, when we hear about Krishna, for example, when Rabindranath Prabhu so nicely and charitably reads the Krishna book almost every morning, and he's reciting it, he's reading it, and he's emphasizing different points in it. True, we are partaking of the prasadam, this is one form, but we are also getting another prasadam from Rabindranath. So it means we can, yes, we can concentrate on the prasadam and appreciate what Krishna has given us and relish it, but we should also let the mind go to what he is reading. As it's mentioned here, if we can keep that one-pointed attention, just going from what he says to what we taste, to from what he says to what we taste, and not, do I have to go to the laundry a little later on? Or should I go to Sprouts Market in 2 hours? Or should I just take a walk around the block? That is not wanted. What is wanted is to simply and only keep our mind with one-pointed attention on what is being said and what is being tasted. Srila Prabhupada would like to take his prasadam alone because there were no distractions. He could concentrate on what he was doing. He could appreciate the prasadam that he was eating. He could relish the wonderful taste and feel the presence of Krishna in the taste. Because there were no distractions. There were no, maybe should I do this? Let's just see, did I get the end of the month statement added? No other thoughts but what is in front of us. Namely, in this particular case, as the verse says, hearing about, glorifying, and remembering Krishna. So if we hear about him with one-pointed attention, and we think about that we are truly blessed to have this, what we are hearing, it's not merely some words or some sentences or some ideas. These are the very ideas, the very... These are the very ideas, the very concepts that will take us from misery to blissfulness and out of this world so that we never have to experience these things again. It is sacred. It is precious. It is to be treasured and cherished, not merely heard, which is our natural tendency, because we like to hear things about ourselves. When we have to hear about Krishna, well, it's somebody else. But if we realize that the real benefit of ourselves comes from hearing about Krishna, because when we hear about him attentively, one-pointedly, concentratedly, he likes that. He enjoys that. He sees that we're really into him, and he blesses us accordingly. What kind of a blessing? Our one-pointedness becomes even greater. And by doing that, he's the super soul right next to the living entity or soul, and he rains down upon the soul his love, and that comes in the form of joyfulness, peacefulness, strength, compassion, understanding, love. This is Krishna's love for us. When he is appreciating, we begin to feel good all over, in the body, in the mind, in our emotions, in the intelligence. Everything feels good within us. And nothing outside of us bothers us, disturbs us, shakes us, upsets us, because we're not a part of that materiality. We are a part of transcendence. And when one is a part of transcendence and is consciously in transcendence, nothing in this world, which is composed of the three modes of material nature, can affect us. That is said again and again in our scriptures. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond it. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman, of God consciousness. So, by focusing and concentrating on the Lord, understanding how precious he is, how kind he is, how warm he is, how charitable he is, by allowing us to have this literature, we are a few here, and there are millions and billions of people who are not reading this. And there are many thousands and thousands who are presently have lost their homes in this particular Harvey hurricane. They don't know what to do. I hear on the watching the news, I've lost everything. I don't have anything. They're living in a dream. They go from day to day thinking that this is going to go on forever. And it's like King Yudhisthira was asked, what's the most wonderful thing, most amazing thing? It's just that. It's going to go on forever. They don't even understand this principle of karma. One day things go up, another way they go down. And for all the killing that we do or we have done, killing all these animals just for the pleasure of our tongue, we have to suffer for that. Srila Prabhupada mentions that's what brings about these catastrophes. Natural disasters, actually they're abnormal disasters. In the time of Lord Ramachandra, there was no such disasters because everybody obeyed the principles that Lord Ramachandra set in motion and also exemplified by his own conduct. So when there is proper recognition, reverence, and attention to these higher principles of virtue for the purpose, not just in and of themselves as an end in themselves, but for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not merely I'm just trying to be a nice person, I speak nicely to you, I speak nicely to you, because it pleases Krishna. Not just so that you will answer me in a nice, sweet, kind, loving way. I don't care how you answer me, but I do care how Krishna feels in regard to how I speak to you. Do I speak to her? Do I speak to whoever? Because if Krishna is pleased, then he will and somehow enable me to feel inwardly, joyfully, interiorly happy. So Krishna is the target in everything we do. If we are dressing the deities, our mind should be on one thought. Lord, help me to do it as best as possible so that you will be pleased. This is my worship. Some of you putting on the beautiful jewelry of Lord Jagannath, Lord Balabhadra, and I congratulate you all when I get up in front. That's why I get in front of the altar so that I can really see it and enjoy it. It's wonderful. And I consider it a privilege to be able to come here and see this and truly relish it. Gaur Nithai, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Balabhadra, Lady Subhadra. They're so beautiful. And let me say this. That is another blessing that we get from Krishna, that he enables us to see himself and all his great associates even more beautifully as we become more advanced. That means we can actually cherish, we can relish, we can enjoy them in the sense of that we become inspired to want to do something nice, something good, something beautiful for Krishna. That's the whole purpose of this congregation, so that we can all do something beautiful, something wonderful, something glorious for Krishna to give him pleasure. Not so that he's going to give us back pleasure. That's never the idea. That would be very fruitive. We do it simply because he deserves it. He feeds us. He clothes us. He shelters us. He gives us medication when we're sick. He gives us education. He gives us help in difficult, trying circumstances. He's always there for us. And when at times he appears to neglect us, that's to teach us something. To teach us how great he is when he does give those things, and how we should perhaps savor them, treasure them, appreciate them even more than we do. I pray every day, please increase my appreciation for all the blessings and benedictions you give me. They're all over the place. I've got these beautiful pictures on the wall. I feel so privileged. This picture of the one that's over there on the charity box. Radha and Krishna. It's big. Fills up almost my whole door. On the other side of the room, I have this gigantic picture of Srila Prabhupada. It's full size, just his same height, about 5'4" and a half. And I'm in a temple of divine splendor. It's so wonderful. People ask me, how come you're not traveling anymore? But I didn't travel this year. I said, I'm too old to travel now. It knocks me out. It depletes my energy. And as a result of that, I can't sometimes speak for a month or two. The last time I got back from Houston, Texas, I couldn't speak for 2 months. So I felt that Krishna was giving me a little signal. It's time for you to set down more and focus upon me, meaning Krishna. Get absorbed in the scriptures. Get absorbed in the bhajans. And I talked this over with the Virabahu Prabhu. And he said, yes, this is time. You're almost 85 years old. You have to now just settle down and focus your attention and just share whatever Krishna gives you. So that's fine with me. It's called Kshetra Sannyas. Gadadhar Pandit practiced Kshetra Sannyas. Stayed in one place, worshipped the deity in that particular temple. That was his business. So in case some of you see that I'm not traveling like I used to, that's the reason for it. It's time now for no more Parvachakacharya. Now it's striving for, and it's a long way off, Paramahamsa. Big, big journey. But journey starts with one step, and we can go from there and leave the rest to Krishna. So, again, coming back to my main point, so that we should hear about, glorify, and remember and worship the personality of God. Everybody in the material world is hearing about something. They're glorifying someone. They're remembering someone supposedly great and even worshiping that someone great. And who are they worshiping? Who motivates them? Who enthuses them? Who uplifts them? Well, some people worship and glorify the movie stars. Ah, there's my favorite. There's Tom Cruise. When he's happy, I'm happy. When he gets a movie and he gets a good review, I'm happy. When he gets a bad review, I'm miserable. We identify ourselves with other people because we feel small, insignificant, inferior, and worthless. And as a result of that, we look for someone else to latch onto so that we can feel their superiority to be our superiority. People latch onto famous sports heroes. When the sports hero does very well, we feel we're doing very well. When the sports hero is not having a good night, then we feel we're not having a good night. So whatever is happening to the on the external world in regard to or in relation to our hero or heroine, we either go up or we go down. That is not happiness. That is simply temporary madness, posing itself as happiness. The person is totally empty. He doesn't know he's a soul. He's thinking he's a body. And as a body, compared to these heroes, he feels inferior, he feels small, he feels inconsequential, worthless. Nobody should feel that. We're all souls. We're part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. Being part and parcel, Supreme Soul, should cause us great joy, great pleasure, great happiness, great satisfaction. I'm a part, for example, if you have a very wealthy father or mother. So a materialist feels very happy that he has such a person, like a wealthy mother or father, because if he needs something, he can always ask the mother, ask father, please, I need this amount of money for such and such. I need to get a new suit. I need to get a new car or whatever. No problem. Here, take. I remember my mother used to come to me. She would see me, you know, driving an old Mazda. And she had the money to buy me really a good car. So she would say to me, you know, can I get you a Mercedes? I said, I'd be embarrassed to drive that on Watsika Avenue. Everybody would be calling me a false brahmachari. I said, no, I'm happy with what I have. And when it breaks down, we'll get a new one. So I got a new one. It was a Nissan. I'm happy in that. I don't have to have all these big, fancy Lamborghinis, Porsches, and all that. Not necessary. It's a show pit. You know, if you're having inferiority problems, then you buy a nice Porsche. So when you drive down the street, everybody says, wow, look at that, you know. Or if they don't do it so visibly, then they're doing it just by watching the car as it goes all this way. So this is false pleasure, false heroism, false superiority. Because we have something that maybe others do not have, if it gives us a sense of greatness, a sense of glory, a sense of wonder, this is useless, worthless, because one day we will not have that. One day we will leave it or it will leave us. Some people may have these great cars like a few that I just mentioned, but then they get older and their back starts to go on them, or their neck goes on them, or the shoulders or the hands don't work well, and they can't even drive them. Got millions of dollars, but can't even drive the great Lamborghini or Porsche or any of the other sports cars. Can't do it. So they have it, but can't use it. And even when they use it, it's worthless because all they're doing is expanding the false ego. What is that false ego? It's me, 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 I, mine, 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 mine. That's the false ego. Today I got this car. Tomorrow I will get another one. And then I'll have three, and everybody in the block will say, oh, yes, three cars, wow. Or I will get a boat, or I get an airplane. People will admire me. People look up to me. People applaud me. Is that for my, is that going to bring me real, true happiness? Of course not. It's temporary. But what Prabhupada is talking about here, he's talking about permanent happiness. Permanent happiness is the gradual removal of the incrustation or the filth or the dirt that covers the soul, what we call the material modes of nature, which manifest as lust and anger and greed and envy and illusion and pride and sloth and gluttony and all these things. So what happens is that when the soul is covered over, then one cannot see things as they are. It's like having sunglasses on, okay? You've got red sunglasses, you see everything reddish. You've got blue tint, everything's blue. Green, green. According to the tint of the glasses is what our perspective will be. Gradually, as we remove the tint, take away the green or take away the blue, take away the red, and gradually we see things just the way I'm seeing things, clearly, as it is. When we see things as it is, then we are seeing correctly and properly, and we are in our constitutional position. So when all the clutter, barnacles, filth, which is encrusting or enclosing the soul, when that is gradually removed through this process, which Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here in the translation, hearing about God, glorifying the Lord, remembering the Lord, and worshiping the Lord with full attention, with full heart, with full love, with our full surrender, when we do it in that manner, what happens is that we are blessed, and the blessing is that Krishna, like a person washing your car, takes off the filth. Krishna takes off the filth encrusting or covering or laying over the soul. And how does that result in our life, though? What does it do for us? We begin to feel what we should feel always. Joyful, blissful, happy. Why are people now, today, why is this country now in an epidemic of opioids? Why? Because everybody wants to be happy and everybody's miserable. So they hit on these particular artificial stimulants and they feel happy for a little while. They actually feel what they know they're supposed to have, but they don't know where to get it. And the only place they go for it is where? The drugstore. Now you can get heroin virtually for just go to a doctor, get a prescription, and he'll give you some OxyContin or fentanyl, and you get a nice little 5-minute, 10-minute high, and then you come down, then you have to go up, pay more, come up. Some people, they have prescriptions from 5, 6, 7, 8 doctors who have prescribed these medications that I've just mentioned, which are basically painkillers. And so they take them on the hour. There are thousands of people, this is not an exaggeration, thousands of people overdosing every week in our country. So we seem to be very worried about North Korea. That's not our main enemy. Our main enemy is the ignorance that we have and the lack of true transcendental happiness, which allows us and enables us and helps us to not only get through the day, not only to get through the day and the night, but gives us a real permanent sense of pleasure. Permanent pleasure means that you're always happy. Sometimes you're even happier than happy. You're sublimely happy. And sometimes maybe you're a little less happy, but there's always happiness. It's internal. It comes from Krishna. It's from the world of transcendental. And it gets better and better as we grow deeper and deeper in divine love. And this is where we have to be striving for. This is what we have to be focusing on. This is how we have to be praying all the day. My dear Lord, please help me to focus upon you. Help me to be one-pointed upon you. Help me to love you purely and constantly. Help me to not give you up even for a second. Help me to, please, when I get distracted, when I get diverted, when I get misled, pull me back and keep my mind focused and fixed upon your lotus feet. If you do that, then my life will truly be not only successful, but fulfilling. And if my life is fulfilling, then the very purpose of life has been truly satisfied. So I will end this with one very quick story. And that is the story of King Ambarish, who manifested, exemplified all this which I'm talking about. King Ambarish, he was a king with many responsibilities. As we know, a king has to govern a kingdom. He has to make sure there's enough food and clothing and shelter and occupations. He has to make sure everybody is fed, everybody is he has to deal with problems, you know, which come up in the communities, property problems and things like that. So King Ambarish, in spite of having an enormous amount of responsibilities, he managed to remember Krishna. He was always chanting Krishna's name. He would go to the temple in the morning, and he would bring flowers and place them on the altar. He would also take flowers that were on the altar and take them and smell them as prasadam and hold on to them. He would listen to the chanting, the Vedic chanting of the glorification of God. So he walked to the temple. He would walk away from the temple. He would chant God's holy names. He would depend upon Krishna completely, as Krishna says in the verse, in all activities. Just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So this ego thing is the false happiness that I was talking about, which people settle for. You win a game, you win the lottery, you get a raise in paycheck. These are all the things people live for as being happiness. When people on Friday at the workplace are leaving the office, what do they say? What does they say? Have a nice weekend. Why are they saying have a nice weekend? Because the week was really horrible, miserable, dastardly. So it's miserable because work is a drudge. They have not learned the secret which Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully gives to us. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do it for me, Krishna says. And if we do it for him, then although you're in an office, you're at a computer table, or you're a janitor, or you're cleaning the toilets, or you're painting the walls, and if you're saying, this is for you, Krishna, this is for you, after a while, that place has become a temple. And Krishna is pleased, and you're feeling blissful, and you don't have to say, have a nice weekend, because every moment of our life is nice. And if every moment of our life is nice, then we are truly fulfilling the true purpose, the true real reason for living, which is to give pleasure to Krishna. And if we give pleasure to Krishna, he will make certain that we have pleasure. So King Ambarish, he did all of these things. He used his hands to serve the Lord. He used his nose to smell the flowers that were offered. He used his eyes to look at the deity. He used his tongue to taste prasadam. His senses were used completely in connection with and with full awareness of God's glory, God's greatness. And by doing that, he became great. I won't go into the whole story. We don't have enough time. But when he was attacked by some yogi who thought he had insulted him, the yogi took out Durvasa Muni, by the way, pulled out a hair, threw it on the ground, and up came a fiery demon who was going to swallow up Ambarish for supposedly insulting the yogi, which he did not. So what happened is that out of apparently nowhere, the Sudarshan Chakra appears. And goes right for the fire demon, and eats him up, destroys him immediately. This is Krishna protecting his devotee. King Ambarish, he did not cry out when he saw that fire demon, oh God, save me, save me, save. He didn't, this is what I deserve, he thought. He's humble. This is what I should get. Maybe even worse, but Krishna's being very kind. And then when he saw how Krishna saved him, he could again understand how Krishna protects his devotees who always think of him. So we should, to the best of our ability, go on trying to think of Krishna as often as possible, wherever we are, whether we're outside. In other words, thinking of Krishna is not merely for here. As soon as we leave, we have to continue thinking of Krishna. Walking across the street, driving the car, even watching or talking to other persons in the back of our mind, we have to be thinking, please bless this devotee. If we're always in that mood of loving service and thinking of Krishna, he will never stop thinking of us. So I thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Because so many times they say, well, how can I be Christian? I'm not doing anything. So, yeah.